really hope we beat their ass today.
And I'm going to tell you what, the tortillas were flying.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors and SB Nation. You're on once again with your main man. I'll be sure. I'm feeling good, feeling real good. And as always, I got my real good right-hand man, Dylan Smythe. Dylan, you feeling as good as I do?
I'm feeling pleasantly surprised by what went down on Saturday.
You thought we were going to lay an egg? You thought Tech was going to go out there and scrub it up?
I wasn't too confident going into that game. Actually, like when we do our pick-ems, I think I went back and forth a few times and ended up picking West Virginia and then wanted to switch my pick. Or no, I ended up picking Tech and I wanted to switch my pick to West Virginia right before the game and didn't.
And because of that, you're still firm in the pick-em. In Jet we trust. Texas Tech wins 38-17 on the road in Morgantown for the second ever win in West Virginia, and it ends a 5-game losing streak to the Mountaineers. Beating my boy Neil Brown. Actually, we beat him down so bad that Neil Brown ended up having to take a moment of his press conference after the game to beg West Virginia fans not to leave the program. So, but yeah, initial thoughts. What did you think about the game?
This game felt like the game to see who replaces Kansas at the bottom of the Big 12.
Lord.
And really, it's West Virginia. And it's West Virginia. Thankfully, it's West Virginia and Neil Brown. I do kind of, at least for the season. That's kind of how I feel about it. But pleasant surprise across the board. Like, really surprised by David Yost willingness to let Jeff Duffy throw the ball, like let Jeff Duffy actually do his thing. And then the offensive line, which has been absent all the way through the season, was really good.
So in a game like this, it's very important for us to take everything with a grain of salt, right? Like, so coming into the season, I thought West Virginia was the worst team in the conference, Kansas included. And even though they beat Kansas, if I'm not mistaken, they are still, in my opinion, the worst team in the conference. I will say I didn't think this was the game to see who replaced Kansas. Though we did lose to Kansas, I still don't think we're the worst team in the conference, regardless of. Well, I guess if we'd have lost Saturday, then I would have rethought that statement. So, yeah, never mind. Maybe you are right about that. But I will say this. Tech, and you do have to take everything with a grain of salt, right? And so, like, for example, the O-line playing really well in this game was a heaven send. It was great to see, but it was probably against the worst defensive line in the conference. Like, that's the thing about this West Virginia team is they're not talented across the board. Like in almost any position right now, everywhere they are, they're either young or not very talented, right? Their quarterback position is not very good. Their defensive line isn't very good. The receiving core is extremely young. Running, skill players extremely young. So everything you kind of have to take with a grain of salt. And so though the O-line did play very well on Saturday, I can't give them the same kudos because I know that they're really – I don't think it's a sign of things to come. It's more so you got to go play against the JV team.
You do have to take it with a grain of salt because a lot of players left this West Virginia program. There's not a lot of talent left. I do think there's a fair amount of talent on that defensive line, and it was something I was worried about going into the game was the O-line not being able to hold up, but they did really, really well. And then to see both Taison and Sir Roderick play really well too, and then just Jet Duffy looked like Jet Duffy of Oklahoma State.
No, it's time. Okay, I finally get to talk about your boy Sir Roderick because he did not have it. This is probably his worst game. Probably his worst game at Tech, I'd say. He really didn't get much going. He went 11 for 27 yards. Taison had a fantastic game. One of his better games, for sure. But I will say, and as much as I was saying how the D-line wasn't great, they did kind of stuff the run. On the flip side, though, Jet Duffy was everywhere. I mean, West Virginia couldn't get to him, and he was like you mentioned earlier. He was able to take those deep shots and actually averaged over 10 yards an attempt for the. I think that's for the first time in a while, anyway, with a 92.5 QBR. So I mean, I think to me the name of the story on offense was Jet Duffy. I mean, Duffy Hive we hear, and the way he was able to play in this game was really impressive.
Let's just conveniently leave out Sir Roderick's two touchdowns, but I'm with you. I'm all on the Jet Duffy train now that we've unleashed him and he's shown that he can be accurate throwing the ball down the field or across the middle. Yeah, I'm all aboard the Jet Duffy train. Let's ride it out the rest of the year.
I'll also say this. The receivers played really well. They won almost all their matchups. Every time that, Eric Izukanma was consistently open. Dante Thompson was consistently open. I thought Jet Duffy, I think one thing that Duffy does this year that he had never done before is he's really good at checking down. And I think that's it's one of the biggest differences we've seen this year is that last year he was always trying to do the deep shot. He was always trying to make something shake out of nothing. And this year, and I give Yost his credit because he actually has always been able to be this type of coach, is teaching his quarterbacks to check down. You don't have to hit a home run on every play. Check down, check down. And he really was able to do that with Tayshaun Henry in this game. You saw it a few times that they left Tayshaun Henry open in the flat. Tayshaun was able to make something shake. And another guy who consistently was able to get himself open was Dalton Rigdon. You know, especially that big 81-yard scamper down the field. You know, so the slowest receiver on the team was able to get something, make something shake.
Yeah, and I guess are you queuing up something here?
I mean, I wasn't sure if we should. I want to talk about it. I know you don't really want to talk about it, but can I talk about it?
I don't care. Just be nice.
So I did after the game, I did get I normally get tweets, you know, sometimes good tweets, you know, hey, we love the pod. Sometimes tweets talking about how much I'm an idiot. And so I did get a tweet from Heath Rigdon, Dalton Rigdon's uncle. Basically saying that, talking about my comments a few weeks ago where I said that Dalton Rigdon is not very fast, right? It was a few weeks ago I said that I don't know why we continually try to give him screens because he's not that fast of a receiver, and he's one of the slower receivers on the Tech roster. Now, I still stand by that. I still think he's one of the slowest receivers on the Tech roster. If you watch the play, he had a slant pass. He caught and was able to take it to the house, and most of the defenders fell back. It was a great route. Dalton Rigdon ran a fantastic route. He's a very good route runner. He's just not fast. And you know what's funny? Usually whenever I talk crap about somebody, I'm saying, like, they're trash. They're not any good. You know, I've called Sam Ellinger trash 20 different ways. But I say Dalton Rigdon's slow, and I got his family members coming out and attacking me on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Like, Dalton Rigdon's still a good receiver. He's just slow. He runs a 4.640. It is what it is.
Well, and there's something to be said. I think it's fair, the criticism. But week in, week out, like, if you look at the leading receiver for Texas Tech, it's TJ Vasher. But just a hair behind him, it's Dalton Rigdon. So he's probably been our most consistent receiver week in, week out all season.
Hey, he is consistent, no doubt about that. He catches the ball, and he's a good route runner. He's just slow. That's my only thing is that we have faster guys, so when it comes to screen plays, I would much rather RJ Turner, Keshawn Carter, or McClain Mannix be the one to get the screen passes because they're all three of them are very fast, right? I didn't say I wanted Eric Ezukama to get those screen passes because he's not as fast as those guys, right? And then I was told that, nobody listens to our podcast, which – I mean, I didn't tweet that he was slow. I only talked about it. So the only way for you to know is that you or somebody that you talk to listens to the podcast. But, you know, it is what it is. Dalton, you really need to get your family members to not compare me to Fat Albert. It's not original. It's not. Anyways. I thought it was funny. Family members attacking us on Twitter. That's cool. That's cool. But good day, Dalton. Good day, Dalton. Send more hate tweets. I like it. I live off of that.
Hey, you know what? If it's working, if it's broke, we're not gonna mess with it.
We ain't gonna fix it. So let's go on the defensive side of the ball. We don't have to bring up Jordan Brooks again, do we? Like, I mean, it's He's the best defender in the Big 12.
I'll just edit in what we said about him last week, and it'll probably all apply.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I tweeted out something on Saturday. I said that Jordan Brooks And I, you know, and I before I tweeted, I really thought hard, and because, and I'm still not sure about this, to be honest. Like, I still feel like I'm, you know, I'm dogging some people that I shouldn't be. But I said that Jordan Brooks may be the best Texas Tech defender since Senor Sack. That's in over, what, over 30 years, right? That's high praise, you know. And I'm not saying I'm right. I could be wrong, but. And there has been a lot of good Tech defenders back in the Spike Dykes era. I mean, even in people used to dog the defenders in the 2000s, but a lot of those were great defenders as well. But Jordan Brooks, man, he's incredible. He's going to be, right? I think he's a Lombardi semifinalist, and he has a decent shot of being a finalist for that award.
And he just collected a Senior Bowl invite. And I think he's right in that breath. I think you got to throw Zach Thomas in there.
Zach, okay, yeah, I knew I was forgetting somebody. So Zach Thomas is a bad boy. But I will say Jordan Brooks, okay, actually, and I do feel confident about saying this, though. Jordan Brooks probably having the best linebacker season since Zach Thomas. I feel confident about saying that. He's probably the first Tech defender that is getting all the accolades that he's getting. I've heard, you know, from NFL Draft Scout that you know, scouts for Bleacher Report. I've heard from, you know, seen from National reporters that Jordan Brooks is the fastest rising linebacker in all the NFL. You know, I was a little disappointed when Dakota Allen was a 7th round pick last year. I had him more of a 5th. You know, I thought he, you know, even had potential to even go up in this on the second day, but I thought he was going to be a 5th round pick. Jordan Brooks, right now I'm hearing that he could be one of the first linebackers taken in the entire draft. He's impressed that much. He's absolutely incredible. Hey, Dylan, somebody got an interception this on Saturday. Can you guess who it was?
DeMarcus Fields.
Yes, but also
Douglas Coleman. Yeah.
Also Douglas Coleman, who gets an interception literally every time he steps on the field.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's good for one a game, and the trend will continue for the rest of the year. He will end the season as the NCAA's leader in picks.
Which is amazing to me. Like if we had a poll on who on the team do you think has the potential to lead the country in interceptions, Douglas Coleman would have come in 10th. I would have legitimately picked Jordan Brooks or Rico Jeffers ahead of Douglas Coleman to start the season. And look where he is now. I would have.
But I wouldn't have picked him first. You're right.
I would have legitimately chosen at least Jordan Brooks. I would have said, "Oh, he's going to get more interceptions than Douglas Coleman this year." Douglas Coleman, we've talked about it, had struggled up until this season, right? But he has just had an amazing season. DeMarcus Fields had probably the best game of the season against West Virginia himself. I think the secondary in general just played fantastic. Played so well that Austin Kendall got benched.
Outside of letting that one receiver, Sam James, get behind them a few times. And let's also say that, yes, the secondary did play well, but if Austin Kendall was a decent quarterback, they would have put up 14 more points because he had receivers open downfield and just couldn't put it in front of him.
You're right. They had the deep pass to Sam James, which would have been a touchdown if he got more under that. He also had a deep pass to George Campbell, which would have been a touchdown if he got more under them. So you are right in the fact that West Virginia had plays that Austin Kendall just couldn't get to them. And Sam James still had an incredible day. At the same time, Sam James is an incredible receiver. I thought the secondary actually did a pretty decent job given. But I will say this, you know, you really see the difference in Keith Patterson-led defense as opposed to David Gibbs. The blitz is called, the pressure given. I mean, for the past, you know, 3 years with David Gibbs, we did not see pressure. You know, you basically as a secondary guy, you had to hold your man as long as you could. And in this one, I think what's helping Douglas Coleman, what's helping DeMarcus Fields, is that you have that clock of 5 seconds. 5 seconds, somebody's going to get to the quarterback. Somebody's going to get, you know, the quarterback's going to have to make some shape because we're getting in the backfield, which that is new. We really haven't seen that since leash years, really.
And speaking of pressure, one of the players we've been calling for on this podcast, Eli Howard, stepped up.
Thank God. But yeah, you're right. He finally had a type of day that we've been waiting for, we've been expecting. And this is probably the first day that I can say he's the most impressive D lineman.
I mean, Project Washington still looked good with the push, and then Jalen Hutchings has been a really a surprise, a very big surprise this year.
Jalen Hutchings has definitely been good, but all in all, a very good defensive game. Matt Wells talked about it, especially in the second half. I mean, you know, Tech offense first five drives, five touchdowns, and then after that, kind of went into park the bus mode, right? Let's leave out of here. And when you go into park the bus mode, it can get really dangerous if your defense doesn't step up, and the defense stepped up, only gave up 7 points in the second half, which was a garbage time touchdown by Jared Daigie. Shout out to Jared Daigie, brother of Tech great Seth Daigie. But defense played well. I mean, first half was all offense, second half was all defense, and that's how you win it. That's how you win a complete game from top to bottom.
Thank you for doing your homework and not making me edit out. No relation, Jet Daigie. Jared Daigie.
No problem. I like, man, I'm a root for Jared Daigie. And like I said, Neil Brown, hey, sorry, guy. And, you know, I feel like this is going to hurt for Neil Brown. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the first time he's got to play Tech where he was an offensive coordinator for three seasons. I feel like he, you know, at home, I think this was a game he wanted. And he was visibly distraught after the game. And like I said, in the press conference, he basically begged West Virginia fans not to leave the program. But this West Virginia team simply not that good. One thing that is very good is the Air Raid podcast. But we got to take a break. We got to pay some bills. So stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Air Raid podcast presented by Viva the Matadors and SB Nation. And we're back on the Air Raid podcast. I like Jed Duffy, man. You know, at first it was a joke. Look, first I was joking about Duffy Hive. I've been joking for the last 2 years how much I like this guy. But that joke has turned into reality for me. I like this new Jet Duffy. I think he's improved tremendously as a passer. And maybe it's maturity. Maybe it is David Yost versus Cliff Kingsbury. I don't know. But I think Jet Duffy has become that much better as a quarterback this season, and I want him to ride it out.
Well, I think someone dropped this stat in our Slack, but he currently leads the Big 12 in completions without an interception. You know, I think he's somewhere in like the 125s. And that's what we've always said about Jet Duffy. It's like, man, if he could just not make that mistake, he'd be such a great quarterback, and he's doing it.
What's funny about Jet Duffy and this system is they're not even using RPOs. Like, there was a lot of times in the game yesterday, I'm like, why aren't you using an RPO? It's third and one. Like, an RPO is automatic right here. But they're not even using RPOs. They're treating Jet Duffy. And we talked about before how they didn't trust Jet Duffy. And I still don't really think they do. Because he did get to pass the ball around a little bit more, but he still wasn't that many deep shots, only a couple. But they are treating him like a real quarterback, right? And so a lot of quarterbacks like Jet Duffy, and I'm not going to get into what I mean by that, but a lot of quarterbacks like Jet Duffy, you treat him more like a battering ram, right? You do RPOs, you do quarterback draws, you do this and the other. They're treating him like a real quarterback where he's primarily throwing the ball. Almost every Jet Duffy run is off of a scramble. And so the fact that he is being treated like a real quarterback and being successful in it, I want to ride it out. I want him to get a fair shake next year. He still has eligibility left. I want him to get a fair shake next year at the starting job, because I think he's really, really impressed me this season.
Yeah, he's done everything we've ever wanted from Jet Duffy. He's doing it right now.
And another reason why I think we should stick with Jet Duffy is the next three games are TCU, Kansas State, and Texas. Why feed Alan Bowman or Maverick McIver to the Wolves? Right, we'll see just how good Jet Duffy is in the next 3 weeks. Like I said, let's take everything with a grain of salt. The last 2 weeks has been with a grain of salt, playing two subpar defenses. Jet Duffy played pretty well. You're going up against probably what TCU and Kansas State, I would say, are probably two of the better defenses in the conference, and Texas is probably the most talented. Maybe not the best, but the most talented. So we'll really see just how good of a quarterback Jet Duffy is in the next three weeks. But I say ride it out. I think a lot, like I said, this season, I think, is to get you prepared. It's the foundation for the rest of the program. And I think you need to see just how good of a quarterback Jet Duffy is, right? And this is the best. And a game against TCU in a rivalry game, you know, is, I think, one of the best ways to do it. He already beat TCU once, baby. He is the foreign frog killer. Keep him in there.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to say here.
All right. Well, do you have something to say about the Big 12 this weekend?
The Big 12 this weekend was wild. Like, every single game was pretty fun to watch outside of ours. And honestly, that Baylor-TCU game, let's just throw away the first four quarters. It was fun after that.
Yeah, seriously. So let's talk about that Baylor-TCU game. First of all, let me tell you something. I hate Baylor so much. And I'm going to talk about why I hate Baylor here in a little bit. But let's go into that game. Baylor wins 29-23. What was your fun parts about the game?
Anything that happened after regulation, because it was nothing but field goals. I actually didn't watch this game, and I'm kind of glad I didn't, because the first four quarters looked like no fun. Max Duggan made a lot of mistakes. Baylor really wanted to let TCU win this game, and then Max Duggan just didn't want to do it. And Baylor deserves to have a loss on their schedule by now, and it's coming.
Baylor should be 5-4. They should be 5-4. Like, it's ridiculous that they're 9-0. Like, oh, I hate Baylor so much. But I'll say this. Actually, the first four quarters was fun. I mean, I played defense in high school. Like, I like defense. It was a good game. It was sloppy football, but it was actually pretty fun, even though it was low scoring. I'm sick and tired of people acting like Gary Patterson's this great legendary coach. Right, this game is an example of why he and not Sonny Cumbie is the problem. Right, like Gary Patterson just boils my blood. This was a game TCU had no business losing this game. So many opportunities to win this game, and I'm trying to find my tweet that I had here, but they had four or five chances to win this game, and that most of them were basically on Gary Patterson. They had Max Duggan had an incredible run where he scores a touchdown, but they review it and they turn it back over on the 3-yard line because he did step out. There's no excuse for not getting it in. And I'm not blaming Sonny Cumbie for that. I'm blaming Gary Patterson. Like just this idea. When you 30 seconds to, or what was it? 40 or 50 seconds to go in the game, three timeouts. And instead of saying, let's go try to kick a field goal to win the game, he says, nope, let's go to overtime. Why would you want to go to overtime? Like, what? Like, if you have nothing to lose. Oh my God, he pisses me off so much. Baylor should be 5-4. There's no reason they should have won this game. I will say the catch of the year was in this game and I'm looking at the video right here to see who exactly got the. Oh, it was Hunt. Tavales. I don't know his first name, but Hunt. T. Hunt. An insane, amazing one-handed catch. Dylan, did you know one hand is all you need to get a touchdown?
As long as the hand comes down before everything else, and that's what happened. He caught it and then put his hand down. It was incredible. Incredible.
I know a lot of football rules. Like, I do. I'm a nerd like that. I know a lot of football rules. I did not know all you need is a hand. I'm over here looking at that saying, oh, you need to put down an elbow, you know, so maybe even a forearm. And they're coming back to me. And even the announcers didn't know. They were like, oh, I don't. And they're like basically making up rules on the spot. Like, you know, I had no idea that all you needed was a hand for it to be a touchdown. But apparently you do, right? And T. Hunt's hand became a touchdown. Also, the few TCU fans that may listen to this, Max Duggan did step out of the 3-yard line. Like, it's not really a... Like, it's not real. I thought maybe they would let it go, you know, for the sake of the game, because I wanted TCU to win. But, yeah, no, he stepped
well, up. Well, and what an effort by Max Duggan, but unfortunately busted out of the three tacklers just to step on the sideline.
Yeah, I wanted TCU to win because I'm pretty positive if they'd have won this game, they would have gotten ran by Tech next week. They would have been on a high. Now they're maybe more focused. I don't know. But, you know, that was my reason.
Baylor really deserves a loss at this point, and it should have happened.
God, dude. Multiple. They're not the 12th best team in the country.
No. Not even close.
They're not. They know it. They know. Like, I'm losing Baylor fans, and they're just happy they're undefeated. They're making their jokes. But they know they're not the 12th best team in the country. But what I'm worried about is Oklahoma not doing what they're supposed to do and beating them, because they don't look that great right now. Oklahoma barely beating Iowa State 42-41. They were up 42-21 this game and almost lost, Dylan. Did you see this game?
Yeah, I watched this game in its entirety, and like, Iowa State had no business coming back into this game in the fourth quarter. Like, Oklahoma really should have clamped down on them, but they gave them every opportunity. CeeDee Lamb fumbled at the end of the game just to give them one more shot. And then Matt Campbell has the opportunity to go for two and go for the win, and it just doesn't happen. Questionable, maybe PI on that play too, but
it was PI. But it was PI. But I'm glad they didn't call it. You don't call that for, you know, to decide the game. But it was PI. But hey, my man Brock Purdy is a bad boy. I've been saying all year how he's basically the entire offense, and he proved it again. But Oklahoma, like, this is Oklahoma, I thought was a sure shot in the college football playoff. I thought they'd go undefeated, and they lose to Kansas State. And I say, okay, well, they'll still win out, and they'll still probably be in the college football playoff. This team isn't that great.
I need to see them handle Baylor next week.
I don't know anymore. I legitimately don't know anymore. And the way the Baylor is, if it's a close game, Baylor's going to win. Because Baylor just finds ways to win games they shouldn't. They shouldn't have beaten us. They shouldn't have beaten TCU. They shouldn't have beaten Iowa State. Like, there's so many games. I'm like, how did this happen for Baylor? And it's probably going to happen again next week. Who knows? Maybe Baylor makes a college football player. And so I can really, you know, do physical harm to myself. But Oklahoma, I don't know what's going on. Jalen Hurts, on a day that Joe Burrow for LSU showed why he deserved the Heisman, Jalen Hurts probably, I'm not going to say he lost the Heisman because I still think he's in the thick of things. I just think that he was my Heisman pick before Saturday, and now it's, I think everybody in the world is giving it to Joe Burrow.
I mean, Heisman Joe beat Alabama, so.
I mean, yeah. But if Jalen Hurts would have went off and done what he did the first 5 weeks, I think we'd still kept his name in there. Now it's like, oh, okay, now don't worry about it. Heisman beat Joe's already his name.
Let me also say, on the other side, Breece Hall is my favorite young running back in the Big 12. He's good. He's real good.
Another close game in this 16th ranked K-State at Texas. This is another game that K-State should have won. I thought K-State was the better team in this. Texas has gone back to being the underperforming Texas that we all know and love. So that's fun.
Yeah. Another game where Texas probably had no business coming back into this game, and Kansas State let the window right open. I think they jumped out to a 14-0 lead, and then Texas surges back. Their running back looked really good. Keontae Ingram had a career game. And I think last week I said he wasn't very good, and he said I was dumb. So he made me look dumb. But, yeah, Texas got it done. Credit to them against Kansas State. Yeah, I don't know. Kansas State is kind of like us where you don't know what you're going to get every week.
Yeah, no, seriously. I've just gotten to the point, nobody in the Big 12 is any good. I think that's really what we all need to come together and agree upon. Nobody in the Big 12 is really all that good. Kansas State shouldn't be 16th ranked. I know Baylor's 9-0, but let's be real. Texas is underperforming. Oklahoma's underperforming. Nobody in the Big 12 is really all that good, right? And I think that's, you know. On the flip side of that, I actually don't think anyone in the Big 12 is really that bad. Like, we don't really have a team that's Kansas bad anymore. Because Kansas isn't Kansas bad. West Virginia beat Kansas. Kansas beat Tech, but Tech beat West Virginia, right? And so I think TCU's offense is terrible, but their defense is still pretty good. They're beating random teams, losing to other random teams. So there's no team that's Kansas bad, but there's also no team that's college football playoff good. And that's a really weird, that's a Pac-12 spot you don't want to be in. So
the Big 12, one true champion, unless there's a tie.
I do want to say this since we brought up my Twitter earlier in this episode. All those Longhorn fans that were in my mentions all offseason about me saying Sam Ellinger sucks and then came after the first 3 or 4 weeks and saying how great he was, y'all all agree with me, he sucks now, right? Like, we can go back to that. Like, I can say my piece now. He's not a good quarterback. I mean, you know, if you're a Cowboys fan, you kind of know what this looks like, right?
No,
right,
because Dylan? Dak is right, a good Dylan? Quarterback. Dak right, Dylan? Is draft worthy. Okay. Sam Ellinger will do nothing in the pros. Dak threw 2 touchdowns since we started this podcast.
I stopped watching the game once we started the podcast because I'm a true podcaster, Dylan, a true one. Dylan, where can people find you?
Oh, we're done. This is the end of the podcast. At Air Raid Podcast, let's go with that.
So let's get it. As always, send your hate tweets to the Air Raid podcast. Why are y'all sending them to me?
No,
send them to
you the can Air Raid keep. Podcast. You can, Albie. You get the hate tweets, and I'm fine keeping it that way.
I mean, okay. Well, actually, send the love tweets to Air Raid podcast. Send the hate tweets to me at Mr_AlbieShore. If you are a relative of Sam Ellinger, maybe his uncle, right? Then yeah, sure. Send me a hate tweet about how I think he sucks. You know what? If you're Sam Ellinger's uncle, you probably should send hate tweet. I say Sam Ellinger sucks literally every week on this podcast. That makes sense, right? Send me hate tweets because I said somebody's slow. I mean, that's you may have internal issues you gotta deal with. Sam Ellinger's relatives, you should probably send hate tweets to me because I think he sucks. Max Duggan's relatives, he sucks. All right, get at me. He sucks. He's not any good. Cliff Kingsbury's relatives. I've been saying that man's trash for weeks, but he's been doing pretty good with the Cardinals this year. Kudos to him. So like we were talking about, Tech, weird season this year. We're still, the chance to go to a bowl is still there. Three games left. All three of them are winnable because, like I said, nobody in the Big 12 is any good. So all three of them are very winnable. So we'll see.
Hold on. Before we get out of here, I'm going to cut you off before you close. Wednesday. Look out on Wednesday. We're recording a preview basketball podcast. We're going to preview the season, talk about the starting lineups, who we expect to do their thing. Basketball.
And I hope that you wait outside of the USA for this podcast to drop on Wednesday, 40 minutes before, like you did for Bethune-Cookman, which was great. That was awesome. The atmosphere has been awesome. Even the awkward swag surfs that everybody does in the stands. I love it. I love it all. As always, stay wrecked, people.